as we come together on this evening, continuing to give God thanks for all that He has done for us. As I stated on this morning, we would be answering a question on this evening. The question is, if Jesus was present during the creation, why did He not come on the scene until the New Testament? Why did He not come on the scene until the New Testament? As we know, according to God's word, that all things happen for a reason, in God's timing, not man's. In God's timing, not man's. The plan of salvation, the plan of redemption, was before the foundation of the world. But that plan did not affect all of mankind until the New Testament. So I guess before I answer this question, I would like for you to answer this question within your mind. Answer it to yourself. Do you believe that there is a God? Do you believe that there is a God? And within asking that question and answering it, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And if you can answer those two questions and the answer is yes to both, do you believe that His word is true? Do you believe that His word is true? And if you can answer those three questions and the answer to all three is yes, then we shouldn't have a problem this evening. But if you got no in any of those answers, or to any of those answers, your answer is no, I would like to sit down with you and to talk to you, and let's go through the Word. And let's find out what do you not believe is true. The Bible states in Genesis chapter 1, and the verse is 1. Genesis chapter 1 and the verse is 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, as we go through the answering of the question, we're going to have to answer who is God. And the answer is going to be very simple by the time we finish. I do believe. Verse 26 says, then God said, let us make man in our own image, or after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Then God said, let us make man in our image. All right, who is God again? And who is God talking to? And as we answer that question, we're going to have to ask, again, coming from creation to looking at the last thing that was created, who created man? Who created man? Again, if Jesus was present during the creation, why didn't He come on the scene until the New Testament? That's a very good question. I'm not going to lie to you. And really, here's the question. They made a statement first, and here's the question. How could this be? That's the question. I didn't state that this morning because I really didn't see that. It's bigger than all the other writing, and I shouldn't have missed it, but that's the question. If you think I'm lying to you, I'll swear to you afterwards. I didn't write that. My writing is terrible. I did not write that. It said, how could this be? What that person, whoever he or she may be, is what they're questioning is not necessarily how could this be, but they're questioning what God has done. Now, that person may not be here, or you may be here. It is not our place to question God. It is our place to accept what God has done. It is our place to accept it and to acknowledge it and to live accordingly. I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but I just want you to know, as the question was asked to Job, where were you when I did these things? When I laid the foundation, where were you? Well, that's not the question this evening. The question is, where was Jesus? That's the question. Where was Jesus? And why did he not come on the scene until the New Testament if he was present doing the creation? Well, let's look at it. Let's talk a little bit about it on this evening. I'm not going to hold you long, but I just want you to hold you long enough to show you that Jesus was not only there at the creation, but Jesus was also the creator. Amen. We're going to see that in Scripture. In John 1, verse 1 through 5. In John 1, verses 1 through 5. And I may not use any of the verses that you would use, but you're not up here answering this question. But I want you to get the answer. I want you to look at what the Bible says. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's break this down. In the beginning was the Word. Word is capitalized. What does that capitalization mean there, Brother Brian? It's a proper noun. And the Word was with God. The Word, again, capitalized, and God is capitalized. And we know that there are some people out there that say the Word was a God. That's a false teaching. The Bible says, and the Word was God, capital G. And not only was the Word with God, but the Bible also says, and the Word was God. Well, wait a minute now. Who created the heavens and the earth? The Bible says God did. Let us make man in our own image. Who is giving the command here, or who's saying, let's do this? God is saying it. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his son. He's talking to his son, who is, again, you may be a home builder, a contractor, but you have subcontracted it to somebody else to build it. And the question is asked, who built that home? They're not going to tell you about the subcontractors. They're going to tell you about the contractor. He built that house. This house is built by Jim Walters. Y'all may not know who Jim Walters is, but he's a home builder. He builds manufactured homes, but Jim is nowhere on site. Jim has subcontracted all of these things, and people have said, could I, you know, buy into this and allow me and my company to build these homes? And you know what Jim says? Yes, because I'm gonna make some money off of what you're doing. God wasn't trying to make any money. God was talking to his son, and he said, let us make man in our own image. So we find that the Bible tells us, as we read there in John chapter 1, it says, he was in the beginning with God. all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Who are we talking about again? We're talking about Jesus before flesh. Before he became flesh. That's really what I'm saying when I say Jesus before flesh. Because that's what the question is dealing with. Why did he not come on the scene until the New Testament? Well, he came on the scene before the New Testament, actually. If you really want to look at it, because Jesus fell up under the old law. The New Testament didn't come into existence until after Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised. That's when the New Testament came into existence or came into play. So we look at this and we answer it as such. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Drop down to verse 14. This same word in reference to Jesus, in reference to God, which is one and the same, what we're reading right here. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. These things happen because God wanted them to happen. That's why Jesus didn't come into existence in flesh until the Father wanted him to. He sent him in order to save his people from their sins. I've given you that scripture, I guess, over the last two Sundays. I'm going to give it to you again. Both two scriptures. I'm going to give them to you one more time. Matthew 1, verse 21, where the angel was talking to Mary, or John, and she shall give birth to a, not John, Joseph. And she shall give birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Well, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came. If he came to seek and to save that which was lost, he had to come from somewhere. Where did he come from? That's what we're going to answer before the end of this lesson. Where did he come from? And that he is making reference to Jesus. In John 8, 58. Where did he come from? The Bible says, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Where did we hear that before? I believe God told Moses, when they say, well, who sent you? You tell them, I am sent me. God and Jesus, I am. None of us are. We're not God. But Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Can we stop right there? Do we need to go any further? Brother Brown would be happy. Do we need to stop right there? I believe we need to go just a little bit further so that we can get a real answer or a clarification that Jesus was long before anything. He was there in the beginning with the Father. Let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22 to 31. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22 through 31. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made this earth with his fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. when he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundation of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. I was there. I was there. You know, being there when all these things were created was a great thing. Being there and experiencing what was going on and having a hand in all what was going on is a great thing. We wasn't there. We wasn't there. You find in the book of Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 13. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 13. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in his righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. The Word of God. This is not any ordinary man. This is talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. He was there in the beginning. The Bible says all through that he was around. He's around today. And he's going to be there in the end. Amen. He is going to be the one that the world is going to be judged by. The way that he lived, the standard that he set, the world is going to be judged by him. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head or the diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. The Word of God. What was in the beginning? He was in the beginning. Amen. God. The Word was in the beginning. Our Savior. The one whom was sent to this earth in order to save mankind. The one that it was prophesied about that he would be able to save individuals. That he would be crucified according to Isaiah the 53rd chapter. We need to accept that. And we need to continue to tell men about whom Jesus Christ is. That they may know that he was in the old and he is here in the new. Our Lord and our Savior. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verses 15 through 17. Colossians chapter 1 verses 15 through 17. Who is he? Who is he? Brother Simmons, I gave you the wrong verse, I guess. Y'all read Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, but that's okay. Paul is the writer. He wrote what the Holy Spirit inspired him to write, but this is the verse I want us to key in on right here. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Is Paul talking about himself? Who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. He is no longer, as Paul is talking about him, he is no longer up on the earth. In Acts chapter 1, it talks about him ascending in the clouds. And the two angels mentioned to them that just, why are you looking up in heaven? Just as he ascended, he's going to also descend. So, again, why didn't he appear long before now? It's not for you and I to know. The secret things belong to whom? They belong to God. And that's not talking about Jesus, because there are some things that God knows that Jesus don't even know. And one is that when he's coming back in order to receive unto himself a perfect church. So we need to accept what the Bible says, and we need to be obedient unto God's word, and realize that if we really don't know this answer, it's not going to say whether or not we're saved or not. But it's good to know the answer, because people are going to ask this question to you maybe before you ever leave this earth. So we need to be able to give them an answer. Who is Jesus Christ? And that's the confession that we make. He's the Son of God. Peter made that confession. He's the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we need to accept that. And we need to continue to tell people about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus, again, he is here active in our lives today if we are walking according to his commands. He's with us. He's with us. I'm glad he came when he did. Obedience unto the Father. I'm glad that he went to the cross. Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. I'm glad that he did those things that the Father wanted him to do. He the Bible states again, is God. He's God. Yet he was subject unto the Father. I'm going to do what you want me to do. The things in which I speak, I'm speaking because these are the things that you want me to speak. And we need to stay in his word. We need to understand that Jesus was present during the creation. He was present during the creation. He was present after all things were created. You know, remember what Nebuchadnezzar and them said when they looked into that fiery furnace? Did we not throw three in there? But there's four, and one looked like whom? The Son of God. The Son of God. Jesus has always been around. Now, did they know what he looked like then? No. Speculation. Somebody told them about what happened in the very beginning, where God said, let us make man in our own image. So why not? You know, hey, that looks like the Son of God. Now, that's not what the, you know, I just, why not think that? You know that there were three in the Godhead. Well, why couldn't this be the Son of God? Walking around like the rest of them. Not being burned. But when the three came out, it was only three. It wasn't four. So let us understand again that Jesus has always been around. Always been around. John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6 and the verse is 38. Where did he come from? Let's go back up to 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Somebody asks you to go somewhere, or someone sends you somewhere, and when you get there, they say, who sent you? Where did you come from? Jesus is telling them where he came from. He's telling them who sent him. So yes, he was there in the very beginning. Yes, God sent him down here upon this earth in order to do his will. Why didn't he come on the scene until the New Testament? Because that's when the Father wanted him to come on the scene. It is not what we wanted. It's what the Father wanted. It is what we needed. You know, we talk about wants and needs. We didn't ask for him, did we? But God knew that we needed him. So therefore, he sent him. He sent him in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. You know, there are many times where we have been in situations or we've been in places and someone showed up and we look at them and we say, why are you here? I'm here to take you home. What do? We get in the car and we go home with them. Why did Jesus come? He came to save us. He came in order that we may have life. He came that in the end we may be able to get into heaven. That's why he came when he came. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 through 8. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Look what the Bible says again. It says in verse 7, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. What was he in the beginning? Jesus was a spirit. He didn't have flesh. But he was to be born of a virgin. He became flesh that you and I could be able to live. He became a servant, not just a servant to the Father, but also a servant to those that he came in contact with. Serving them to get them to realize how important it would be and it is to serve others. To be able to give his life, to make that sacrifice that men may be saved everywhere. And being found in a form, in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Not my will, but your will be done. How obedient are we when we realize what Jesus has done? Left, we know we sing that song, he left his mighty home in glory. He left that place. He come down here on this earth in order that you and I may be able to live. That he may give his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Those men that crucified him didn't realize what they were doing, but yet it was pointed out to them. And on that day when it was pointed out, the Bible says about 3,000 were baptized. But today men are denying who Jesus Christ is. He's not the Son of God. He was just another prophet. No, Jesus is our creator. Our creator. We are supposed to pattern our lives after his life. When he became flesh, we look at that. Yes, him being in the spirit, we were made in his likeness. We were made holy. But we fell short somewhere. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're trying to get back to where we're supposed to be. Pleasing in the sight of God. Be as Job. Have you considered my servant Job? He's a just and upright man. We're trying to be like Noah was, who wanted to find grace in the eyes of God. Because again, we were made in his image, in their image. Holy. We were made pleasing to God. But we have grown apart from him. So we have to recognize who Jesus Christ is. Where was he in the beginning? Where did he come from before he came to this earth? Where did he go when he left this earth? And where is he going to come back in the end? He's not going to come to walk this earth. He's going to come in the clouds. And if you're not one of his children, you're not going to make it into the kingdom. You're not going to make it there. It's just that plain, just that simple. You're not going to make it there. So if you're here this evening, with the answer that we've given to the question about Jesus being present during the creation and looking at when or why did he not come on the scene until the New Testament, when we look at this and we state that he came on the scene here in order to be crucified, to be what? Betrayed by Judas, taken, by the determinate counsel of Acts chapter 2, as Peter's preaching there, by their hands and crucified, so that we may be able to live. If you realize that and you have not put him on through the water of grave baptism, let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The Bible says this in Romans 6, as Paul writes, verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Grace that our Creator has extended to us. Shall we continue in sin? He says, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We need to understand this. That if you have not been baptized, buried like Christ was buried, that you are not one of his children. You're not a fellow heir to the throne. You're not one of God's children. You're not part of the family of God. And you need to become one. You need to put him on through baptism. Quit delaying. Quit saying, oh, I have tomorrow. Quit saying, oh, I need to go talk to somebody else about this because I really don't believe what you're saying. Research it. These scriptures are already available for each one of us to look at and to examine. And if we're examining them right, if we're searching the scriptures right, we will understand that Jesus was in the beginning. And he came at the right time in order to save man from his sins. We need to realize that. Maybe you're here and you want to do that tonight. You want to put Christ on. Please don't delay. Just do it. Come and make that confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Be immersed in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins or the forgiveness of your sins. If you're here and you're strayed away from the fold, we want you to come back. We want you to make that confession. We want you to get your life right with God. If you need to go and get it right with someone else, go and get it right with them and come back. If we're not here, give us a call and let us know what you have done in order that we may continue to pray for you, that you may be strengthened, that you may live the way God wants you to live. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.